The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, and verse number 10. Only one verse of scripture here this morning. We're looking at a new year. It's almost here, just another day, and it's going to be here. As I mentioned, when we have the opportunity of a new year, it really defines an opportunity for a new start. To make some new commitments. I don't know if resolution is the right word or not, but I do believe that a genuine desire, genuine effort to do something for the Lord, more than you have done, and to experience a closer relationship with the Lord. This one verse of Scripture, and I have read this verse many, many times over the years, and I just want to call this to your attention here this morning as we begin. These are the words of Solomon, his wisdom. And really, it's talking about wisdom. The verse closes out describing this as a wise approach. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Now, this is describing someone who is using a tool, using an axe to cut wood, and that if he is not willing to stop periodically and to whet the edge, to sharpen the edge, then he's going to find himself working himself to death. If he doesn't sharpen the edge, then he has to put forth more strength. I've not cut very much wood at all, but I know that just any tool that requires a sharp edge, that if you don't have a sharp blade or a sharp edge, it is going to work you much, much harder. Amen. I have witnessed this over the years in the church, among the people of God, people begin to develop a dullness in their walk with the Lord, and they're not seeing fruit. They're not feeling like that they're being very effective. They're not getting accomplished what they want to get accomplished for the Lord, and so they become weary. And it's one thing to be physically weary, but it's even a more serious problem whenever there's a weariness that settles in over your spirit and begins to affect your spirit, and you lose your desire for the things of God. You lose your desire for the Word of God and for prayer and for working for God. You just lose your interest because you're not seeing the fruit or the success that you want to see. And so we want to encourage you this morning, even before we start this new year and over this next couple of weeks, that we determine in our heart that we're going to do all we can to sharpen the edge. And it doesn't just take place here at the beginning of the year, although it's a good way to start the new year. Then all throughout this coming year, there needs to be times of personal revival, times where you stop and that you are willing to prepare yourself, because you know if you don't keep that keen edge in your walk with the Lord, then you are going to work yourself weary. And you're going to lose your zeal. You're going to lose your desire. Then comes guilt and the burden of guilt, because you're not doing what you know that God would have you to do. And you have lost your desire for the things of God. There's this dullness that begins to affect your heart and affect your spirit. A lot of times you can go through trouble. You can have spiritual battles, spiritual struggles. You go through times where it's difficult. And you come out of those experiences just feeling completely and totally depleted. And that's why that there must be seasons in our life where we stop, where we seek the Lord in a greater way than we do at other times. I read a little story of a young lumberjack who was challenging a a veteran lumberjack to a contest. The young man wanted to prove himself. You know, he was young and had the big muscles, and he wanted to prove himself. So he challenged the older, more seasoned lumberjack to a contest to see how many trees could be cut down in a day's time. And so the morning came, and the young man started, the older gentleman started at the same time. And the young man, I mean, he was just going at it like fighting fire, and trees were falling. And all throughout the day, he noticed that the veteran would be sitting down and taking breaks throughout the day. And he thought, well, I'm surely beating this old guy really bad in this contest. When they get to the end of the day and everything's tallied up, the young guy is so surprised to learn that the veteran lumberjack has cut down almost twice as many trees as he has. You see, while he was taking those breaks, it was not just a rest time, but during those times, he was sharpening the edge. He was sharpening the blade of his axe and preparing it. So every time that he would stop, it wasn't just a rest period, although it was that, but it was also a time that he was sharpening the edge. And by doing that, his experience had taught him that that was the way to be successful and to really get it done and not work yourself to death. Do you know that that happens in spiritual lives? It happens in Christian experience, that church becomes a dull routine in a lot of people's life. There's no fire, there's no zeal, there's no real enthusiasm for the things of God. It's just a lot of hard work. And we lose our real joy and our desire to accomplish what the Lord wants us to accomplish in our lives. So we're looking at a new year, and I want to challenge you. During this new year, when you feel yourself spiritually becoming dull, spiritually disinterested in the things of God, the Word of God, the house of God, that you just take some times and you settle and determine, I am going to prepare myself. I am going to sharpen the edge. I'm going to do some things to strengthen myself so that I can be able to accomplish what the Lord wants me to accomplish. Amen. So we have an opportunity now as we're starting this new year with a time to set aside a few days to seek the Lord and to literally sharpen the edge, to get ready for some things that God may want to accomplish in us over this coming year. I have witnessed people many, many times who love the Lord. They love the things of God, but they have just become so weary in their spirit that they cannot see how that they can ever keep doing what they're doing, let alone when they're asked to do something more or extra. There's this feeling, I'm overwhelmed. I can't do any more than what I'm doing. You know what? You really probably would be the most important exercise that any of us could ever involve ourselves in, and that is to stop, wet the edge, sharpen the edge, draw closer to the Lord, and let the Lord prepare you for new things that He wants to do in your life. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why is this important? Why is it so important that we do this? I want to give you a few reasons here this morning. And the most important reason that I can see is that is the fact that there is a world that's out there that needs to see the demonstration of God's power. They need to see the hand of God. The whole generation that's growing up in our world right now, and even in our churches, that they need to see the power of God demonstrated among us. It's one thing to have religion. It's one thing to have a routine of a church, going to church. But what is really needed, what this generation really longs to see, and that is the demonstration of the power of God. And I believe that there's a hunger for that. There is a real desire for that in the world that we're living in right now. Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. This is a dry and a thirsty land, spiritually speaking, that we live in today. People are in such need. There's desperation everywhere you look. It's a hopeless world that we're living in today. And the only hope, of course, is a demonstration of the power of God. This generation needs to see the power of God. And that will only happen whenever you and me, as the church, born-again believers, determine in our heart that we are going to take the time to be filled with the Spirit, to deepen our walk with the Lord, to draw closer to God, so that we will experience God's hand upon our life. Amen. Oh, how desperately the world needs to see the hand of God. They want to see the power of God. They want to see the glory of God. They want to see God's hand demonstrated amongst us. They're not interested in how talented we are. They're not interested in how beautiful our buildings might be or what we may have as far as our talents are concerned. What this world is thirsty for is a demonstration of the power of God. They want to see God moving. They want to see the hand of God moving. That will only happen when the preacher and the deacons and every father and every mother and every individual in this church, they set aside some time to seek the Lord with your whole heart, to sharpen the edge, to get ready for this coming new year, so that we will truly in our own individual lives experience the power of God. Hallelujah. That's one reason why that we must sharpen the edge for this coming new year. We've got to do it in your own life. There's going to have to be this vibrant reality to your relationship with God, to see that God wants to move and show His mighty hand in your behalf. Amen. Another reason why that it is so important that we sharpen the edge as we prepare for this new year. If you don't, then you will likely wear out. You'll likely lose heart. Even your own spiritual life will become weak and even in jeopardy because you have literally exhausted your own resources, your own ability, and you've come to the end of yourself. And when you do that, then you have nothing to offer. And the only way that we can face the challenge of a day like we're living in right now is to experience His power in all of our lives. And that will only come as we seek the Lord. Amen. There's a wonderful verse that says, if we'll draw nigh unto God, He has promised. If you'll do that, if you will purpose, I am going to get closer to God, then He has promised, if you'll draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. Amen. If you'll purpose in your heart, I'm going to sharpen the edge. I'm going to seek the Lord like I have never sought the Lord. I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend time in the Word of the Lord. I'm going to set aside a lot of other things. I'm going to give some days of full attention to the things of the Lord. Sharpen the edge. If you don't, then you're going to wear out spiritually. You're going to have nothing to offer to a world that is looking for answers. And they want to see the power of God in your own life. Isaiah 40. And verses 20, beginning with verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If you have found yourself spiritually depleted, spiritually weak, and just getting to church on Wednesday night is like impossible. And the desire is not there. Just getting to the house of the Lord and just the regular services, you just can't seem to do it. It's almost more than you can muster the strength and the energy to do it. It's not only because you're physically weary. It's because there's a weakening, a fainting in your spirit. And the only way that that can be stirred and revived is if you wait upon the Lord. Amen. And they that wait upon the Lord, their strength will be renewed. They that wait upon the Lord, they will find a renewed zeal, a renewed fire for God, a renewed interest in the things of God. Amen. You'll even get to church on time. You'll even love the things of God. Your interest will be renewed, and you'll be zealous in your work for God and your love for the things of God because of the fact that you have renewed your strength. Amen. Glory to God. That's our only source is turning to God. Turn to God. We're facing a year of challenge. We don't know what we're going to face, what this new year will bring. I can assure you that there will be challenges. I can assure you that there will be obstacles in your path. Satan will make sure that things are thrown in your pathway to hinder you, to keep you from being all that God wants you to be. There will be times when you will be weary in spirit. And when you get to that place, that's not the place to stop. That's not the time to give up or to give in to the inclination of the flesh. But instead, it's the time to stop. It's time to pursue God. It's a time to come aside with the Lord. It's not just at the beginning of the year, but other times during the year. It's going to be important for you to seek the Lord with your whole heart, to wait upon the Lord and renew your strength, or you're not going to be able to face the challenges of this coming year. Why do we need to sharpen the edge? Well, the world is watching. The world is waiting to see the power of God. And if you do not... if you're not willing to do this, then you or yourself are going to experience some struggles, and you're not going to be able to meet the challenge of the day that comes your way because you have not waited upon the Lord and depended upon the Lord for strength. Amen. A third reason why it's so essential that we sharpen the edge, whet the edge, the wisdom of Ecclesiastes 10:10 is if you don't sharpen the edge, then you're going to have to put forth more effort. And when you put forth more effort, you're going to weary yourself, and your spirit is going to get weary. And the even small tasks will become large tasks to you because you are weak in spirit. Amen. And you'll not be able to face the challenge. A third reason why we must sharpen the edge for these last days, this coming year, 2013. And that's because of the unlimited promises of God to His people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even though we are weak, God has not lost any strength. Even though we find ourselves facing challenging times, God never grows weary. He always has the abundant supply. His grace is always sufficient for you, no matter what you experience. It's a wonderful verse of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, there are a number of verses, New Testament verses, that are direct quotes from the Old Testament. This is one of those verses. Now, whenever there's a verse like that that's repeated from the Old Testament, that doesn't mean it's more inspired, but I believe that it does mean that we need to give extra attention to that verse of Scripture. Actually, Paul is quoting from Isaiah 64 and verse 4. Here's what it says. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God beside thee, what He hath prepared for him that waiteth. For him, the same theme. You'll find it's interesting that there are 220 some verses that are direct quotes from the Old Testament in the New Testament. But beyond that, there are literally hundreds and hundreds of other verses that allude to a theme of the Old Testament. And so you can't divide the Old Covenant from the New Covenant. I know that there are new things that God has introduced in the New Testament to us. But that doesn't mean that the Old Testament is obsolete or not important, because we need to understand it's all the revelation of the will of God for us. So when God spoke to Isaiah and said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not been able, your senses have not perceived, even in your heart, you have not been able to even perceive the things that God has planned for those that wait on Him. Amen. When He told Isaiah that, you say, well, that was all talking about Jesus coming and His virgin birth and His sinless life and His ministry in this world and those years of His life on earth. And I think that's true, that was a part of what Isaiah was prophesying about. But I think that Paul quoted that verse to let us know that God's revelation is a continuing thing to us, that God just continues to work in our life. That doesn't mean, I'm not suggesting that we go be outside of the boundaries of the Word of God. I'm just simply saying that we do not comprehend. We can't, with our senses, really comprehend. We're not comprehending the fullness of all that God wants to do for people who wait on Him, that God wants to do for His people who love Him and are willing to wait upon the Lord. Praise God. And so we need to sharpen the edge, because there are so many wonderful things that God has in store for His people, and so many of the promises of God that we're not going to realize those because we're not pressing into it. We're not in the Word. We're not seeking the Lord. We're not fasting. We're not waiting before the Lord. And so as a result, we're just not seeing the promises of God and the fullness of all that God wants to accomplish for every one of us. Amen. One of the biggest lies that the enemy sells to the people of God, especially if you've been saved a long time, and that is the lie of the good old days. It's a big lie. It's not the truth. You say, oh, back in the day, this is what we did. Back in the day, this is what was done. This is what God did back when I was young, or when I was a new Christian, or during some time. There is a big lie that is sold to the church, convincing them that the good old days were better than the days that we're living in right now. I think I've got your attention. Because we all have memories of good things, wonderful things that God has done in the past. But that's a big lie of the enemy, to convince us that God's promises are not just as real today as they were 40 or 50 or 60 years ago. He's the same God. His Word is the same Word of God. And we're convinced that what we're living in right now is we're in survival mode. That's a lie of the enemy. He's convinced us that the good old days are past, and what we're living in right now is just, let's just hold on with all of our might and let's survive it until Jesus comes. Nothing great or wonderful is going to ever happen, because all that was all back in the good old days. It's not true, and it's not biblical. Amen. The same writer in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 10, say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? Don't say that, is what the writer is saying. Don't say it. Don't say that the former days were better than these. For thou dost not inquire wisely. That is not wisdom. That is foolishness. That's what Ecclesiastes 7 says. Boy, I'm tearing up a lot of your theology this morning, but I think it needs to be shook a little bit. Amen. We ride the tide of the old days thinking that's what's going to carry us through. But in reality, what we forget about is the fact that we live in the last days, and God wants to do wonderful, new, fresh things for the people of God today. Things that you have not seen or heard. Things that you have never entered into your heart. Things that you cannot comprehend. Both from Isaiah 64 and 1 Corinthians 2, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that verse says, the things which God hath prepared for them. In Isaiah it says, O God, beside thee, what He hath prepared for them. And both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, the word describes building or creating. Now that is the God that we serve. He is the God of all creation. Amen. Can you just think about that for a moment? Everything that exists in this world, it was in the mind of God, and He just spoke it into existence. Wow. Everything. The wonders, not only of this world, but of all of the universe. All of those were in the creative mind of God. He's spoken into existence. The same God who has spoken to us and said that we haven't seen or heard, It's not even entered into our heart. We can't even comprehend the things that God has planned or prepared, or by His creative power, the things that He wants to do for the people of God, if we'll just wait on Him, if we'll just trust Him, if we'll just commit ourselves unto the Lord. As a matter of fact, I'll go a step further with this, and please don't anybody get upset with me over this. Because I do have an appreciation for the past, for what God has done in the past. I'm old enough to have a past. And so I appreciate the past. But I really believe that not only is it not biblical, but it does not demonstrate the principle of God's Word. The principle of God's Word is that God moves, and it's a progression in our walk with the Lord. We are growing in the Lord. We're going from revelation to revelation. Amen. We are living our life, and we are in the realm of the Spirit. Things are to be growing, developing, getting better, getting stronger, moving forward. That's what needs to be happening. You say, yeah, but they're not like they used to be, but they could be. And not only like they used to be, they could even be greater and more wonderful than it used to be if we would just wait on God. There are things that God has for His people if we would just wait upon the Lord. There are wonderful and mighty things that He wants to do. The Christmas story, Simeon and Anna. Simeon and Anna waited in the temple. They were old. It says that Anna had been a widow for 84 years. She spent her time, she lived in the house of God, and she had literally given her life to service in the temple, to prayer and to fasting and to service to God. Her whole life had been in that kind of a level of dedication. Same thing with Simeon, that he'd waited and is waiting. And the Bible says, when you notice that story of Simeon, that the Holy Ghost had spoken to him and said, you're not going to see death until you see the Holy One, the child Jesus. And so he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And that day came, and the Spirit of the Lord led him. It says that he went into the temple by the Holy Ghost, and it was a Spirit-inspired arranged meeting, because as he is coming into the temple, Mary and Joseph are bringing Jesus into the temple for his consecration and in the temple, and the Spirit of God arranged the meeting, and he took Jesus into his arms. Let me tell you, this was the greatest day of Simeon's life. He had served God all of those many decades, service to God in the temple. And now he's going out. He said, now my time has come. Now that I've experienced this, this is the greatest experience. I'm holding the Son of God in my arms. My greatest spiritual experience was my last spiritual experience. Amen. It was true for Simeon and Anna. I was reading the story. It came to my mind about the story of Jesus when he went into the wedding at Cana. You remember the story that they ran out of wine to serve at the wedding feast. And so his mother just said, whatever he says to do, do it. If he says it, you tell him. You just do it. So the servants brought in all the water, brought in all these vessels of water, And Jesus said, serve it. By faith, they served it. And it was not only wine, but it was better than the other wine. And those that were the chief or the governor of the feast came to them and said, why did you serve us? Because the normal way that you do at a wedding feast is you serve the very best, and then you begin to degrade until you get down to the worst. That's the way it is. That's the natural progression of things in our spiritual lives. Amen. But that's not the way it is. You see, the thing that was different about this wedding is that Jesus was present. Jesus was at this wedding. And so he turned that water into wine. And so the governor of the feast said, why is it that you have saved the last for the very best for last? Why have you done this? Why did they do it? Because Jesus was there. Jesus was there. And why should we expect that in the last days, just before Jesus comes, in 2013, why shouldn't we expect that the best would be saved for the last? That God would move in the last days in such wonderful, supernatural ways that we experience His mighty power. It'll happen if we will sharpen the edge, if we'll get closer to God, if we'll seek the Lord, if we'll get in His Word, if we'll renew our zeal and our heart and our desire for the things of God. It will happen. The best will be preserved for the last. Amen. That's when you're living a life of faith. When you're living a life that's more the ways of this world, then your perspective is the opposite. Amen. The best is served long ago, and now we're just in survival mode. Let's just hold on, do the best we can. I'm so glad that Caleb and Joshua didn't have that philosophy. Everybody else, whenever they saw the giants in the land, they all were shivering, scared to death. They were afraid, thinking, there's no way we can go up against this enemy. Caleb and Joshua both said, wait a minute. We are more than able. We are more than able. They had faith. They had confidence. They had seen the giants just like others had seen them, but they were full of faith and confidence that they were going to be able to do that. Amen. Caleb is around 40 years old whenever this happens. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. Even though that the rest were, the whole great multitude of the children of Israel were not going to be able to go into the promised land at this time because of their unbelief. They were going to die in the wilderness. Caleb was going to survive because God had given to him the promise. Numbers 14 and 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit. It wasn't full of doubt and unbelief. Because he had another spirit with him. And it followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. 45 years go by, and he's watched all of his contemporaries have died and buried in the wilderness. And he survived it all of those wilderness wanderings and all of the struggles of the wilderness. He survived it all, and faith has kept him on top. Because he held on to the promise of God. All the way to the book of Joshua. Where it was pronounced. Whenever everything was being divided up to the various tribes. In John chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. Here was the testimony of Caleb. He said, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. He's 85. He said, I am just as strong today as I was when I was 40. Now there's a real parallel here, and I know that our physical strength wanes. But that doesn't mean that it has to affect your spirit. It doesn't have to affect your faith. It doesn't have to affect your usefulness to God or to the kingdom of God. He said, I'm just as strong as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in the day how the Anakims were there. Now that was the giants that were in that land. It was a particular area that he had laid claim to, and it was the land of the giants. Everybody else was scared of the giants, but Caleb said, I choose the land of the giants. I want to see them brought down. And if I have to do it when I'm 85 years old, that's okay. Amen. For thou hast heardest that in the day that the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced, if so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb Hebron for an inheritance. 85 years old. I could go through, and there's other passages of Scripture where I can give you the parallel of this. But I do believe that wherever you are, whatever is going on in your life, even if you feel like that you're weary and you're older and you can't really be useful to God, that's just not true. That's not New Testament. The New Testament describes that the older have a responsibility to the younger to teach them to model godliness, to model a spiritual life, as our brother was teaching in Sunday school this morning, the older modeling for the younger. We do have, all of us have a responsibility. The older have a responsibility to the young. The young have their responsibilities. We all have our place in the kingdom of God. And there are things that God wants to do in these last days that He has never done before. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of men, the things that God has prepared. The creative power of God is just as real today as it was that He spoke the sun and the worlds into existence, and He created everything that is. It's the same God who is alive and well today. For this generation, this younger generation, they need to see the power of God. They need to see the demonstration of God's power. And we are responsible, each and every one of us, to sharpen the edge, to draw closer to God with that promise that if we'll do that, if we'll draw nigh unto Him, He will draw nigh unto us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sharpen the edge. You say, yeah, but you don't know the problems I've got. You don't know the challenges I've got. I don't know of any problem that any of us could ever face that couldn't be at least improved or bettered by our willingness to commit ourselves to the Lord in the next few days. To seek the Lord like we haven't before. To get into the Word like we haven't before. We all have problems, and really complaining about them doesn't accomplish anything. The only thing that we can do is pour our heart out and draw nearer to God, who is the only problem solver. He's the only one that has answers. He's the only one that can help you, that can heal you. He's the only one that can come to your rescue in the circumstance that you're in right now. Well, so why not call upon the Lord? Sharpen the edge. A new year is just before us. 2013, just a few more hours, and it's going to be here. Why don't we spend this week preparing ourselves, getting ready, and next week, the following week, seeking the Lord with a newfound intensity and desire. Oh God, we need You. We need You in our families. We need You in our homes. We need You in our church. We need You in our ministry. We need You, Lord, in everything that we would attempt to do. And then, Lord, You who are creative and powerful, Lord, You've got new things that You want to do. Things that we're not even thinking about. That our senses, that we're not even considering. But God, You want to show Yourself strong in mighty ways that we can't even imagine if we'll seek the face of God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, oh Lord, thank You. Thank You, Lord. God, that You are preparing us, Lord, and You want to work in our lives. And I ask You, Lord, somehow, every one of us, Lord, to commit ourselves to You with a renewed zeal and a renewed fire, a hunger, oh God, for the things of God. Lord, that we would stand on the promises of God, and we would believe, Lord, that You have things that You want to do in these last days that we've not ever seen before. Oh God, oh God. I thank You, Lord, that You are able to stir us. And I know, Lord, it's foolishness to think that we can get anything done in our own strength. Lord, by that, we're just going to wear out. We're going to lose heart. We're going to grow faint. We're not going to be able to be at all what You want us to be. But I pray, Lord, for every person, every young person, every mom and dad, everyone. Those who sense this spirit of weariness that just seems to settle in upon our hearts and our spirits. Oh, God, Lord, revive us. Lord, revive us. Lord, stir us. Help us. Do a work, Lord, such as we've not experienced before. Hallelujah. We thank You, Lord, that Your plan is great. Your plan is wonderful. Beyond anything we can comprehend, help us to enter into that, to see that become a reality in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.